From the studios of Wavefront Audio Visual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 138 of Little Brother for the 11th of November, 2023. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. We are going to start with a banger. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police, or RCMP, is the Canadian Federal Police Force. It's not inaccurate to think of them as being like the FBI and the Department of Protective Services wrapped up under one agency, only colder and more metric. According to the CBC, in the Canadian capital of Ottawa, an RCMP agent named Cameron Otis is on trial for leaking information to foreign governments. What's interesting here, though, is that he has testified under oath in the case that he was tipped off to the secure messaging app Tutanota being a front for the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance, which consists of the governments of the US, Australia, Canada, the UK, and New Zealand. The claim is that if a target uses that system, their communication is available to all five governments. While this was testified under oath, do bear in mind that this is unverified and that the defendant has a vested interest in diverting blame. The surveillance programs that were revealed to the world by Ed Snowden some years ago were largely implemented under the auspices of a law called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, specifically Section 702. It was last amended in 2008 to permit warrantless wiretapping of non-citizens overseas, with the understanding that incidental wiretapping of citizens or others inside the country may occur. It has, sadly, been the subject to some abuse.
Well, duh.
A few days ago, Senators Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, Warren Davidson, Republican of Ohio, and Zoe Lofgren, Democrat of California, introduced a bill called the Government Surveillance Reform Act of 2023 to reverse the erosion of our rights under the FISA by minimizing the retention of Americans' data, removing both the temptation and the ability to search Americans' data that was retained under the act. Meanwhile, as reported by The Intercept, Director of National Counterterrorism Center Christine Abzaid is advocating for the extension of Section 702. Her argument is that the Hamas attack on Israel in the past month demonstrates the dynamic nature of terrorism and the need to stay vigilant. I understand the argument, but it seems to me as though protecting the American public by violating the American public's rights is not protecting the American public. It's like securing a precious painting, say, for instance, the Starry Night, by punching a hole in it to attach it to something with a chain. Did you know that game wardens in Virginia can confiscate trail cameras? Did you know that they can do that on private property? Did you know they'll dress up in full ghillie suits to evade observation while violating private property rights for purpose of confiscating a trail camera, which is someone's personal private property from a location that is on their private property? No, neither did I. And I would never have guessed that this would be the case, but that is exactly what is being alleged by Virginia resident Joshua Highlander. Apparently, they can do this due to a principle called the Open Fields Doctrine, established by a Supreme Court case, Hester v. U.S., and the doctrine holds that Americans do not have privacy on open fields, even if those open fields are private property, and even if they are posted with no trespassing signs. As such, it seems like this principle applies nationwide. However, if Highlander has any luck with the lawsuit that he is filing, this'll change. How about a bit of potentially good news? China is now requiring that any new network equipment sold domestically have full support for IPv6. Now, what's that got to do with you and me? Put simply, a requirement like that is likely to propagate out both to equipment they sell internationally and also to anything that they might import, whatever that might be. The practical upshot is that it improves the likelihood that any given piece of equipment that you may possess will finally support this new version of the internet protocol. After all, it's only been around for 25 years. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned Recently? According to the record, New York Attorney General Letitia James has fined U.S. Radiology $450,000 for getting pwned. The company fell victim to a ransomware attack, which, as any of my regular listeners knows, happens regularly enough for there to be a whole section of this show, this very section right here, dedicated to it. But in this case, the fine is because of the way they got pwned. You see, it seems as though the vulnerability that was exploited was identified and given a CVE number 2 fucking years ago. The exploited vulnerability is CVE-2021-20016, and while a patch was available for it, the sonic wall hardware used in production by U.S. Radiology was outdated and the patch couldn't be deployed to it. So, while the fine seems like a drop in the bucket for a company of this size, a smaller drop in said bucket would have been to replace the fucking outdated firewall hardware. Now they gotta do both. I also have a follow-up from the last episode where I mentioned Okta getting pwned. Okta have performed a root cause analysis of the pwn and posted it publicly. The pwn happened by way of their support case management system. They didn't mention what system they're using, but that's not really relevant. But ultimately, what happened is that an Okta employee signed into their Google account using their Okta laptop. That, in and of itself, is probably not a big deal. Maybe a little questionable, but not terminal. The problem is that the employee had browser syncing turned on, and that the syncing included credentials, and that the credentials that they had cashed on their machine included those for a service account in the aforementioned support case management system. So basically, if you pwn the dude's personal shit, you can pwn the company. Real nice. I am sure that there will be meetings about this. In the last episode, I spoke out against a bill that is in committee in the New York State Legislature that would require a background check for the purchase of any 3D printer that could be used to produce firearm parts, which, to put it bluntly, is all of them. I took a moment at the November meeting of the Albany 2600 to gather some opinions about this.
Do you have a 3D printer?
Yes, I do.
I don't own one yet.
I do.
No.
No. Well, I could afford one, but I don't know what I'd use it for.
I do not.
I do not.
Several, yes.
Okay.
I was not contemplating buying a new one today.
What is your thought about the bill that is currently sitting in committee in New York State that would require a background check for the purchase of a 3D printer?
That has nothing to do with me because I'm from Vermont.
I would probably just build one if it meant that I didn't have to provide a background check.
Probably because I've already had 4 background checks already, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, which party is conducting the background check? The government?
Yes.
Or, well, so it's not information they don't already have access to.
Well, I suppose that's probably a true statement, yeah.
Who's a third party or a corporate entity, I'd be a little more hesitant.
Well, that's a good question. Okay, I remember you talking about this recently, about the one to put licenses on it.
Mm-hmm, the last episode, yep.
I would circumvent it. I think it's ridiculous, so yes.
Okay.
I would get one, but I don't think I'd follow the appropriate channels to acquire one if I had to.
I'm lazy by nature, so probably not.
I would fail.
I don't think I'd have any use for one. The only time that I ever had really much interest was I came in the middle of a show where they're talking about 3D printing food, and that sounded interesting to me. I don't know how it works, but the whole concept of it was pretty interesting.
Well, here's the thing. I've worked with children, and I've had to have my background checked multiple times.
Okay.
So for me, it's not a big deal, but it's only because I've had to do it in my line of work. And honestly, I think when you're working with kids, that's a perfectly reasonable expectation.
That would be a strong deterrent.
Would you take steps maybe to circumvent the process?
Oh, undoubtedly, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about the possibility of 3D printing a 3D printer? I've heard that's a thing.
Yeah, the early rep wraps were 3D printed. One of my printers, Prusa, uses a lot of 3D printed parts. All the plastic on it is 3D printed, with all the frame stuff.
Very good.
So yes, there's a lot you can 3D print of a printer.
Those were, in order of first appearance, the voices of Ed, Spartacus, Tim the Enchanter, Flower, Finnegan, Michael Bronstein, Matt Martin, which I am informed is all one word, Lil, and Azriel. 2600 meetings take place all over the world, mostly on the first Friday of the month. Go to www.2600.com/meetings for details. As usual, we'll end the show with the fail of the fortnight. We have two this time around, and they are both legal matters. First up, from the Here We Go Again department, the European Union is poised to pass a law known there as Article 45 of a bill called EIDAS, which forbids web browsers from enforcing modern security requirements on encrypted traffic. This would allow an easy path for governments to intercept encrypted traffic, Of course, the reason this is a fail is not because it just simplifies government access to your data, but because it simplifies everyone else's access to it as well. Meanwhile, on the other side of the pond and at the other end of the spectrum, in the US, a bill is being introduced called the Pro-Codes Act. On background, some laws on the books refer to commercially available standards, such as the National Electrical Code, which, surprise, is not part of the law but is incorporated by reference. Standards organizations, such as the National Fire Protective Association, publisher of the NEC, claim copyright on the material. In recent years, multiple courts have ruled that making the text of these standards publicly available is a matter of fair use. After all, it does logically follow that if you are expected to follow the law, you should be able to know what the law says, right? Nope, that'll cost you $120 for a full copy. I do understand the NFPA's position on this, and wanting to collect their fee for a copyrighted work. I also understand the court's position, that something incorporated into law should be publicly available. Perhaps a better solution here would be for the government to either compensate NFPA or to cut them loose and do the work themselves. But having secret laws, that is not acceptable. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Azriel, Julie Bernstein, Alex Marthews, Joe Cadillac, and Nidant for story leads. And I would also like to mention that Azriel is back in the lead. I would additionally like to thank Ed, Spartacus, Tim the Enchanter, Flower, Finnegan, Michael Bronstein, Matt Martin, Lil, and Azriel for appearing in this episode, and to thank the Axe That Slayed Me for providing a sample of her voice a few episodes back.
Well, duh.
Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80, our Who Got Pwned music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad, our Fail of the Fortnite music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast, or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next time when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Episode 139 will drop on the 25th of November. Stay safe and be well. In the last episode, I spoke out against a bill that is in committee in the New York State. Special thanks to Azriel, Julie Bernstein, Alex Marthews, Joe Cadillac, Julie Bernstein. Oh, wow, look at that.
You know, it sounded good in my head. Now it says, oh, good, okay.
Well, they said you wouldn't download a car, but actually I would if I could.
You've given me time to think about this, which was a big mistake.